Welcome to our deep dive. Today we're taking a look at Trump, Never Give Up.
It's a fascinating book, really.
Yeah, and we're going to be uncovering more than just like, you know, typical real estate advice.
Right.
This is a glimpse into Trump's personality, his challenges, even some fun stuff like, you know, his favorite dessert.
Oh, yeah. You get a lot of that in there.
So are you ready to dive in?
Absolutely, yeah. I think people are going to be surprised by what they find in this book.
Okay, well, let's kick things off with this story. Trump going from billions in debt to setting a Guinness World Record.
It's almost unbelievable.
Yeah.
In the early 1990s, I mean, he was facing billions of dollars in debt. A lot of people thought he was finished. But instead of giving up, he actually achieved what Guinness recognizes as the biggest financial turnaround in history.
Oh, wow. So how did he pull that off?
Well, Trump talks about this mental shift. He says instead of seeing these huge debts as these, you know, impossible problems, he reframed them as opportunity.
Okay, interesting.
So that allowed him to kind of focus on solutions, not dwell on the negativity.
So like a mindset change was the foundation.
I think so, yeah.
It's pretty powerful how perspective can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And this whole kind of, you know, focus on solutions and mental toughness, those themes reappear throughout the book.
Oh, okay.
Like take, for instance, the creation of The Apprentice.
The Apprentice. I mean, that was kind of the show that launched him, right?
Pretty much, yeah. And the funny thing is, almost everyone told him not to do it.
Really?
Yeah. They thought it would damage his reputation as a businessman.
So the show that made him a household name almost never happened.
It's crazy, right? It just goes to show, trusting your gut can be huge. You know, he went against all that advice, and it became this massive hit. And actually, it introduced kind of a new side of him to the public.
It's interesting how a project that's seen as a risk can actually shift your public image.
Right.
Speaking of projects, let's talk about Trump Tower. The book talks about some of the hurdles he faced, you know, getting this iconic building off the ground.
Right. I mean, Trump Tower is a perfect example of how he navigated, like, you know, New York real estate.
Okay.
You know, just getting the land involved, all these complex negotiations, especially with Tiffany & Co. for their air rights.
Hold on. Air rights? What are those?
So air rights refer to the empty space above a property.
Okay.
And in cities like New York, those can be super valuable.
Oh, well.
Trump needed those rights above Tiffany's to build the tower as high as he wanted.
Oh, I see. So he basically bought the sky above Tiffany's.
That's one way to put it, yeah.
Wow. Okay, what else stands out about this project?
Well, there's this story about a gentleman's agreement with Walter Hoving, head of Tiffany's. You know, Trump needed Hoving's approval. But he was going on vacation. So instead of like, you know, lawyers and contracts, they sealed the deal, a $1 billion deal with a handshake.
Wow. A handshake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't hear about those kinds of agreements anymore.
I know. It's like this different era in business, right? You know, built on trust and personal connections.
It makes you wonder if that trust still exists today.
Right. It's a good question.
Speaking of trust, let's move to Woolman Rink in Central Park. Now, this one wasn't initially his project, was it?
No, not at all. This was like a city project that had, you know, just become a total headache. They'd spent 6 years and millions of dollars trying to renovate it, and it just wasn't going anywhere.
So where does Trump come into all this?
He saw an opportunity. He offered to take over the project, no cost to the city.
Okay.
And said he could finish it in 6 months.
Oh, wow. Well, I bet the city was thrilled with that offer.
Well, not exactly.
Oh.
Mayor Ed Koch, actually, you know, he kind of laughed it off at first.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, there's no way he can do that. But the media and the public, they saw the potential.
I see.
And, you know, they were tired of this, like, you know, eyesore in the middle of Central Park.
Yeah.
So Koch was bombarded with negative press. And he kind of had to accept Trump's offer.
So public pressure won in the end.
It did. And of course, you know, Trump delivered, finished the project ahead of schedule, under budget.
It was a big win for the city, right?
Huge win.
And for Trump, it was like, you know, a publicity win.
Oh, yeah.
Showing he could get things done when others couldn't.
Exactly. It definitely helped solidify his image.
Okay, let's move on to another iconic landmark.
Trump
International Hotel and Tower.
Right.
So it wasn't always like, you know, the glamorous place it is today.
No, not at all.
Right.
The building, it was originally the Gulf and Western building. And it was this aging skyscraper, you know, full of structural problems and asbestos.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Pretty much, yeah.
Who would want to touch that?
Well, you know, Trump.
Of course.
He saw the potential.
I guess he saw something that no one else saw.
He recognized the value of its classic structure that prime location overlooking Central Park.
So he buys this building that's basically falling apart.
Yeah.
How does he turn it around?
Well, you know, first he secured the deal. And then he tackled those, you know, structural issues head on. And he also made this really smart decision. He combined hotel and condo accommodations.
Interesting. So attracting tourists and residents.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the result is this, you know, world-renowned destination.
Right. A top-rated hotel. It really speaks to his vision and his ability to take a difficult project and make it successful.
Turning lemons into lemonade on a grand scale.
That's Trump for you.
But not all of his projects, you know, went smoothly.
No, not at all.
In the book, he talks about some controversy surrounding his Soho project.
Yeah, that was a big one. He faced a lot of resistance from community activists. They were worried about this 45-story tower impacting the historic Soho neighborhood.
What were some of their specific concerns?
Well, they accused him of trying to, you know, sneak in luxury condos into a manufacturing district. Basically, they were worried about him changing the character of the neighborhood. And it got ugly, protests, online mockery.
So how did he navigate that opposition? Did it end up going through?
Yeah, eventually. It was a long fight. He had to make some concessions and jump through a lot of hoops. But in the book, he points out that, you know, while there was this vocal minority against it, there was also a silent majority that actually supported it.
It reminds me of the challenges you see with a lot of, like, community development issues, right?
Absolutely. Very similar.
That whole vocal minority versus silent majority dynamic, It definitely shows you the complexities of urban development.
It does, and how balancing progress with, you know, preservation can be tough.
Very tough. All right, let's head to the West Coast.
Okay.
Where Trump tackled a project that actually started with a natural disaster.
Right.
Trump National Golf Club in Los Angeles.
Yeah, this project began with a landslide. The 18th hole of the Ocean Trails golf course, it just crumbled into the Pacific Ocean.
Wow, a landslide. I can only imagine the damage.
Oh, it was extensive.
Yeah.
The estimated cost to fix just that one hole, $61 million.
Wow.
A lot of developers would have walked away.
I'm surprised anyone would stick with it.
But not Trump.
So what did he do?
Well, instead of just, you know, repairing the damage, he completely redesigned the entire course.
Oh, wow.
He brought in this legendary golf course architect, Pete Dye, to create like a, you know, world-class golfing destination.
So every time he's faced with a setback, he just thinks bigger.
Yeah, he does.
Aims higher. And in this case, it seems like it paid off.
It did, yeah. Mm-hmm. Trump National Golf Club is now one of the top courses in California.
He really turned that disaster into a success.
It's in quite a story.
Now, it wouldn't be a deep dive into a Trump book without mentioning Mar-a-Lago.
You got that right?
Right. That's his historic estate in Palm Beach. Tell me about it.
Well, Mar-a-Lago, it has this special place in his heart. You know, from the moment he saw it, he knew he wanted to own it.
Right.
And once he did, he put everything into restoring it to its, you know, original grandeur.
I can only imagine that was no easy feat. What were some of the obstacles he faced with Mar-a-Lago?
Well, for starters, the property was in bad shape. It needed tons of work. And he ran into some legal hurdles, you know, trying to turn it into a private club. Plus, Palm Beach society wasn't exactly thrilled about his arrival.
So even with his wealth and status, he still had to fight for this.
He did, yeah. He talks about the discrimination he faced, the personal attacks, and he didn't back down, you know?
Yeah.
He was determined to make Mar-a-Lago a symbol of inclusivity, and, you know, ultimately he did. It's a pretty impressive story.
You know, it seems like a recurring theme. Mm. You know, with him, it's his bold ambitions and then the resistance he faces, whether it's individuals or communities.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't shy away from a fight. And that tenacity, that refusal to give up is what's driven his success, for sure. He really thrives on proving people wrong.
It's amazing what you can achieve when you refuse to give up.
It is.
And speaking of never giving up, we've only just scratched the surface of Trump never give up.
Yeah, there's so much more to uncover.
And we'll be doing just that in our next segment.
Stay tuned.
So stick around, folks, because this deep dive is just getting started.
You know, it's that unwavering self-belief that really stands out in the book.
Yeah.
He faces these setbacks, but always seems to find a way to come back stronger.
Right.
It's remarkable, really.
It's like he really takes those words, never give up, to heart.
He does.
But it's not just blind faith, right? The book also goes into, like, his strategic thinking.
Yeah.
And how he analyzes problems.
Oh, absolutely. He talks about this thing you know, you have to assess the situation, right?
Yeah.
Determine, is this a minor blip or is this a major catastrophe?
I see.
And that helps him prioritize, you know.
Okay, so he figures out which problems really need his attention.
Exactly.
Instead of getting bogged down by every little thing.
Right. It's strategic decision making, yeah. Knowing when to go all in and when to cut your losses.
He even talks about walking away from things.
He does, yeah. Which can be tough, especially for someone like him.
I bet. Can you give an example?
Sure, yeah. He talks about this experience with the Trump shuttle. It was an airline he bought in the late 80s.
Cool.
He invested a ton of money in upgrades, wanted to create this like luxury experience for passengers.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he ran into all these problems, labor strikes, recession hits, fuel prices go through the roof.
Oh, that sounds rough.
It was.
Yeah.
And despite, you know, all his efforts, he realized it just wasn't going to be profitable.
Right.
So he sold it.
It takes a lot of self-awareness to admit when something's not working.
It does.
It's a valuable lesson for anyone, I think.
I agree.
Speaking of valuable lessons, does he talk about anything that might be, you know, a little counterintuitive when it comes to success?
You know, it's interesting. He talks about knowing when to brag.
Okay.
Not in an arrogant way, but strategically.
Oh, okay.
He uses Muhammad Ali as an example.
Okay.
You know how Ali was like a master of self-promotion?
Yeah.
Well, he helped make himself into this global icon.
So it's like, it's okay to talk yourself up.
Yeah, but strategically, authentically.
Okay, interesting. He also seems to, you know, value giving back.
He does. There's a whole chapter dedicated to his charitable work.
Oh, wow.
He talks about being involved with the Salvation Army, Red Cross, organizing events, donating.
So using his position to make a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Does he talk about any specific projects where he applied his, you know, business skills to community issues?
Yeah, he talks about the Jones Beach Project on Long Island.
Oh, yeah.
It was this massive renovation of a public park. And, you know, he actually faced opposition from preservation groups at first.
I can see why. Development and preservation sometimes clash.
Right. But he was able to win them over.
Okay.
By showing his commitment to preserving the character of the park, you know.
Okay.
And his attention to detail in the design.
That's great. It's inspiring to see someone using their skills like that.
I agree.
The book seems to be a good mix of those business lessons and personal anecdotes.
It is.
Does he open up about his personal life at all?
Yeah, he does. He talks about finding peace on the golf course, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And he talks about this practice of like replacing negative thoughts with positive ones.
Oh, interesting. Does he mention any times where he like felt stressed or overwhelmed? I mean, given all the high pressure situations he's been in.
Yeah, he talks about this moment of panic during a financial crisis.
Okay.
He realized, you know, he owned this massive estate, Mar-a-Lago, that was just like draining money.
Yeah.
But instead of freaking out, he just started joking with his bankers about subdividing the property to make money.
So he used humor to kind of diffuse the tension.
Yeah, exactly. And he emphasizes like the importance of having a support system, surrounding yourself with reminders of past achievements.
Like family photos, that sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Those positive anchors. He even talks about like some really lighthearted moments too.
Oh, yeah, like what?
One of the funniest chapters is his account of hosting Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow. I can't even picture that.
Right.
What was it like for him?
He said he was, like, really nervous, had some doubts.
I bet.
But he ended up having a blast.
Oh, God.
He even did a skit where he was dancing with people dressed as chickens.
He doesn't seem afraid to poke fun at himself.
No, he definitely has a sense of humor.
Okay, good.
And, you know, that appearance, actually, it softened his image a bit.
Oh,
it made him seem more relatable.
Yeah, sometimes taking a risk and stepping outside your comfort zone can have unexpected benefits.
For sure. He also talks about how he dealt with, like, public speaking mishaps.
Oh, like what?
Like, one time his private jet broke down on the way to a speech in Ohio.
Oh, no. I bet that was stressful.
It was. He was scrambling to find another plane, you know?
Yeah.
Arrived hours late, but instead of panicking, he turned the whole thing into a joke.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah. He connected with the audience, showed them you can turn a disaster around with the right attitude.
That's a good lesson for anyone, really.
Oh.
Things don't always go as planned.
They don't. He even tells a story about a wardrobe malfunction in Las Vegas.
Oh, no. What happened?
He lost his jacket, like, minutes before speech.
Oh, dear.
So he had to wear his bodyguard's jacket, which, you know, didn't fit.
Of course not.
But he just shared the story with the audience, and they loved it.
You know, it's funny how those unexpected moments can be the most memorable.
Absolutely. And what he learned was that, authenticity, being able to laugh at yourself, it's way more engaging than trying to appear perfect.
It makes him seem more human,
It does.
despite that larger than life persona.
Right. Does he touch upon anything outside of like real estate and entertainment?
Well, he shares his thoughts on the global real estate market. He talks
Okay.
about emerging markets, the impact of technology,
Interesting.
foreign investment in U.S. real estate. He even highlights his role in making it easier for foreign buyers to purchase property in New York.
So he's got that global vision, understands the world economy.
Yeah, definitely. He actually encourages readers to think beyond their immediate surroundings.
Okay.
Consider the opportunities a globalizing world presents.
That's important advice.
Does he talk about staying informed, like about global events?
Oh, absolutely. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to understanding, political and financial shifts.
Okay.
And he backs this up by sharing his own international ventures. He's got projects in places like Scotland, Dubai, Panama City.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
So he's willing to take risks, expand his horizons.
Oh, yeah.
Does he share any personal philosophies or beliefs?
He talks a lot about the role of luck in his journey, but he also says, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
So it's about creating your own luck, in a sense.
Exactly. And he believes strongly in trusting your instincts. He's got all these stories about times he went against expert advice, just relied on his gut feeling.
Did it work out for him?
Often, yeah. Like, his decision to develop the Commodore Hotel into the Grand Hyatt,
Okay.
everyone told him it was a bad idea, even his dad.
Really?
But he saw the potential.
It's New Grand Central, right?
Yeah, prime location. And he turned it into this, symbol of New York City's revitalization.
It sounds like a lot of his success comes down to that belief in himself.
It does. Even when others doubt him, he also stresses the importance of having the right people around you.
Good point.
People who are loyal, supportive, share your vision.
It's about building a strong team.
Exactly. He tells this funny story about a project manager he hired for his Swifton Village apartment complex.
Okay.
The guy was like a total con man.
Wait, he hired a con man.
He did, but the guy was incredibly talented at getting things done.
I guess sometimes you gotta think outside the box.
You do. He also stresses the importance of loyalty and expertise, having a mix of both.
Yeah, makes sense. There's a chapter title that really stood out to me. Get the most from every day.
Oh, yeah. What's in that one?
What does he talk about there?
It's his call to action for readers, maximize your potential. He lays out his four-step formula for success.
Okay, what's that?
Get in, get it done right, and then get out.
I like it. Concise and to the point.
It is. It's all about taking initiative, being effective, striving for excellence, and knowing when to move on.
Does he mention anything about goal setting?
Oh, yeah, big on that.
Okay.
Setting short-term and long-term goals,
Yeah.
breaking those aspirations down into smaller steps. He even says, write those goals down, make them real.
That's good advice. I know I get overwhelmed if I just focus on the end goal.
Me too.
It helps to break things down.
Absolutely. He's all about having that roadmap.
Another chapter that caught my eye, creative, positive thinking.
Okay.
Does he talk about mindset?
Oh, he's big on mindset. He believes negativity just drains you.
Yeah.
You got to cultivate that positive mindset.
Okay.
He even tells a story about a development project where he just wasn't happy with the design.
Yeah.
He scrapped months of work and started over.
Oh, wow. That must have been tough.
It was, but he was willing to let go of something that wasn't working to create something better.
He seems like he's not afraid to make those tough calls.
He's not. It's about trusting your vision. He's also a big believer in learning from your mistakes.
Oh, he certainly made a few.
He has, but he highlights those setbacks, emphasizes the lessons learned.
He sees failures as opportunities.
Yeah, not as reasons to give up.
That's refreshing.
Isn't it?
So many people are terrified of failure, but that's where we often learn the most.
Exactly. For him, it's a sign that you're pushing yourself, taking risks.
It's all part of the journey.
It is.
Does he ever address, like, his critics?
He does, yeah. He tackles those accusations of arrogance, greed, sexism head on.
I bet.
He uses a mix of like defensiveness and humor, and he tells the story about suing an author and publisher over what he saw as false statements about his net worth.
Wow, he doesn't back down from a fight.
No, he doesn't. He was determined to protect his reputation. He took meticulous steps to refute those claims.
But does he ever talk about, like, the need to just let go of
Oh,
negativity?
he does. He tells this story about being invited to a party on a yacht.
Okay.
And it turns out he wasn't actually on the guest list.
Oh, no. That's awkward.
It is. But instead of, you know, making a scene, he just rolled with it.
That's a good approach.
Yeah. Choose to focus on the positive. He also talks about, you know, staying true to yourself.
Okay.
Especially when you're facing criticism.
That's important.
He talks about how he's often gone against the grain, made unpopular decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That turned out to be successful.
Interesting.
He encourages readers to, you know, embrace their individuality, trust their own judgment.
Don't let others hold you back.
Exactly. And he weaves all these values into his personal anecdotes.
Okay.
He talks about the importance of family, his children's achievements, the role his parents played in shaping him.
So we get those personal reflections alongside the business stories.
We do.
That's good. He also talks about, like, his definition of success. It's not just about wealth, right?
No, it's about achieving your goals and leaving a legacy. He even reflects on his own mortality, you know, encouraging readers to make the most of every moment.
That's powerful. It's a good reminder that life is short.
It is.
You know, one of the things that makes the book so engaging is that conversational tone.
Yeah, I agree.
It really does feel like you're just sitting down with him.
It does.
Hearing him share stories and advice.
Over a cup of coffee. He's direct. He's opinionated.
He's not afraid to brag a little.
No, he's not.
But he's also got that humor.
Yeah.
Even self-deprecating at times.
Definitely.
It's vintage Trump.
It is. And, you know, for all that larger-than-life persona, he also shares moments of vulnerability.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that he's not afraid to admit when he's made mistakes.
Right. He talks about, like, the fear he felt before hosting SNL.
Oh, yeah.
The doubts he had when facing all that debt, the frustrations of dealing with constant criticism.
It's humanizing.
It is. It shows that even, you know, the most successful people, they face those same challenges.
The path to success is never a straight line.
Never. It's full of ups and downs. And, you know, it's important to remember that this book is his perspective.
Right. He's telling his own story.
He is. And while he's often candid, it's clear that, you know, he believes in himself.
So it's up to the reader to take his advice, you know, with a grain of salt.
Yeah, consider his perspective alongside others.
Form your own opinions.
Exactly.
But no matter what you think of him, his story is about resilience.
Ambition.
That drive to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether you agree with his methods or not, you gotta admire that belief in himself.
And his ability to achieve what others might think is impossible.
Exactly.
It's really interesting to see how these different sides of him kind of contribute to his success.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, being a good businessman.
Oh.
It's that resilience, that self-belief, even like a willingness to be vulnerable.
Right, exactly. He's not just this one-dimensional figure, you
yeah.
know? There's a lot of depth there.
And that's what makes his story so interesting.
Definitely.
You know, one thing we haven't talked about much is his love for New York City. It comes up quite a bit in the book.
Oh, yeah. He's got this real passion for New York.
Yeah.
You can just feel it. He talks about the city's energy,
mm-hmm.
how it inspires him, challenges him. It's been a big part of his career.
Does he talk about any specific projects in New York that, like, stand out for him?
He talks a lot about his early days as a developer.
Okay.
You know, the struggles he faced when he was starting out.
Yeah.
The bureaucracy, the skepticism. He talks about building the Grand Hyatt Hotel.
Okay, that was his first big project in the city, right?
It was, yeah. And he faced a ton of opposition.
I bet.
But he stuck with it.
He doesn't give up.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Grand Hyatt ended up being a symbol of the city's comeback.
Interesting.
He also talks about his vision for revitalizing, like, neglected areas of the city.
Yeah.
You know, he's proud of the impact he's had on the skyline. He really sees New York as this, like, driving force in his life.
It's more than just a place to work.
It is. It shaped him, challenged him, rewarded him.
But all that success, it comes with sacrifices, right?
It does. He admits that he's made sacrifices along the way.
Like what?
The long hours, missing family events, the constant pressure of being in the public eye. He even says he's a workaholic.
It's tough to find that balance sometimes.
It is.
Between chasing your dreams and having a personal life. It's something a lot of successful people struggle with, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, one of the most valuable things I got from the book was his focus on learning from experience.
Oh, yeah.
He's made mistakes, but he always seems to bounce back.
Right. He encourages people to look at every setback as a chance to learn.
Yeah.
You know, he says, analyze those mistakes. Use those lessons to make better decisions in the future.
Turn a negative into a positive.
Exactly.
It's all about growth.
He even says that, you know, failing can teach you more than succeeding ever could. You got to have that growth mindset.
Yeah.
Be willing to embrace those challenges and learn from them.
And he gives a lot of examples of how he's done that in his own career.
He does.
How he's learned from those setbacks.
And come out stronger.
Yeah.
He doesn't shy away from his failures.
No.
He owns them.
Yeah.
Analyzes them.
And he uses them to fuel his future success. That's powerful.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that the path to success is never straight.
Never. There are going to be twists and turns.
And how you handle those is really important.
It is. He also shares some insights into his negotiation style.
Oh, I bet that's interesting. He's known for being a tough negotiator.
Yeah. He stresses the importance of being prepared, knowing your worth, never being afraid to walk away from a bad deal.
Cool.
He's got all these stories about outsmarting his opponents, you know, getting those favorable terms, achieving things that people thought were impossible.
So it's about having that confidence.
Exactly. He even lays out his 10 rules of negotiating.
Oh, wow.
Gives you all these practical tips.
I bet that's helpful for anyone who's ever had to negotiate anything.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Whether it's in business or even just your personal life.
But despite that image of being a tough businessman,
yeah,
you know, he also talks about giving back to the community.
He does. Yeah. He talks about his involvement with different charities,
okay,
supporting veterans, kids in need. He even organized a charity boxing match, called it the Battle of the Billionaires.
Really?
Yeah. Raised millions of dollars for good causes.
It's good to see that side of him, using his position to make a difference.
Absolutely. It shows that, you know, success isn't just about personal gain.
It's about helping others.
Exactly.
So never give up. It's more than just a business book, right?
It is.
It's really a look inside the mind of a complex and driven person.
Yeah, it is. It's a story of ambition, resilience, that drive to succeed.
And while his methods and his personality might not be for everyone, you know,
right,
there are definitely some valuable lessons we can all learn from him.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that success isn't a destination. It's a journey.
And it's those challenges we face along the way that really shape us.
They do.
His story is really a testament to the power of believing in yourself, working hard, and never giving up.
Never give up.
Well, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Trump, Never Give Up.
We have.
It's been a fascinating journey, and I hope you've enjoyed it.
Me too.
And as always, folks, keep learning, keep growing, and keep those never give up spirits alive.